Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And Story goes down swinging, and DeGrom's got his first strikeout of the day. 1-2-3 for Jake. 2-2 coming. Fastball strike three call. That's the best fastball he's thrown yet. And he comes inside again and strikes him out on three pitches.
Here in New York at this point.
And Nunez goes down on the slider, and DeGrom strikes out three in a row to strand a pair. Tapia on deck, and then Ryan McMahon for the Rockies in the third. And Gonzalez goes down swinging on the high fastball to figure out how they're off. This guy takes two or three pitches, and he blows away Tapia at 101 miles an hour.
He's on a different road today.
And he blows him away upstairs. DeGrom strikes out the side. He's fanned the last six hitters. DeGrom on a roll.
This quick.
1-2 coming. He struck him out. Nine in a row for Jacob DeGrom. 10 strikeouts for the day. One strikeout shy of history.
Couldn't have given up a run.
Yep.
And Blackman, did he go around? He did. Strike three. Number 13 for DeGrom. Swing and a miss. Crone is down on strikes. And that is 14 strikeouts for second consecutive start for Jacob DeGrom.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
I mean, he's ridiculous. Just absurd at just about every time out. Jacob DeGrom, 14 Ks for the second game in a row. Nine in a row. One shy of Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver set the record with 10 Ks in a row in his 19 strikeout game at the time of record in April of 1970. It is Hit and Run, the Score's venerable baseball show on a Sunday morning here in this two-team town. I'm Matt Spiegel, and pleased to welcome in on the Altamonte Nissan Hotline. Go to apnissan.com or check out Altamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. It is Casey Stern, MLB Network radio host, longtime baseball human. Casey Stern joins us right now on The Score. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Matt, morning, man. How's everything? Okay?
Yeah, it's all right. Nice to talk to you. How has DeGrom added heat to the fastball every year? Is it sticky stuff? Is it mechanics? Is it what's going on with Jacob DeGrom? It is remarkable what he's done every year.
You know, it is crazy. And I think, you know, part of what a lot of people forget is this guy was a shortstop. And you're talking about a kid who at Stetson was drafted in the ninth round, which, by the way, that worked out to be okay in terms of picks. And, you know, you think about it, and by the way, him and Whit Merrifield, two guys who were in that ninth round of that draft back in 2010 that worked out pretty well as all-stars. I just look at DeGrom as a guy who continues to fine-tune his mechanics, and it's so easy for him as far as even when he was throwing 95, 96. I mean, this is somebody who just doesn't look like he's even throwing hard. And it's amazing, not only the ticks and velocity, but the thing about DeGrom that is crazy is you can watch a box score, it's like, okay, great, another DeGrom dynamo performance. Yesterday, he came out, and after, remember, they had an extra couple of days because of the snow out and everything that has happened with his team scheduling-wise in general, was a week off. He didn't find his fastball really until the second inning. He was behind at a couple of 3-1 counts. If he comes out of the gates yesterday and the way he pitched the rest of the game in the first two innings, he could have struck out. I mean, look, it's a seven-inning game. He struck out 14. It's just amazing. The slider yesterday, Blackman in the first at-bat gets a hit on his fastball. Second AB, he threw Charlie Blackman five consecutive sliders to get him out. So it's just the smarts. And he's so under control. I mean, he reminds me a lot in terms of like his mannerisms and just the approach on the mound to the late Doc Halliday. He's a guy who is not going to say much, right? I mean, there's not even a lot of, you know, aggressive nature of fist pumping after strikeouts. He's just so controlled and professionally operating on hitters day after day when he's out there on the mound.
It's awesome. Jacob DeGrom hit one home run in college, Casey Stern. Do you know who he hit it off of? Do you know who he hit it off of?
I don't. I actually don't know. I don't know.
Chris Sale. They were playing.
Oh, that worked.
They're playing in the Atlantic Sun Conference Championship Tournament in 2010. I remember I once heard a story that like Sale was just kind of found when somebody went down to scout DeGrom, or maybe it was the other way around. But I love stuff like that, as you clearly do with the Whit Merrifield Nuggets. Good stuff. Are you staying up late to watch the playoff atmosphere excellence with the Dodgers and the Padres? I've got kids. I know you've got kids. It's all right to watch the condensed game in the morning. I got to be honest.
You know. But I have on Friday. I did because, you know, to me, it's like, well, here's the thing. It's like, first of all, in April, you know, the funny thing about the baseball season covering all these years, you get real locked in beforehand. We count down forever till it starts. The first 2 weeks, if you started off great, you're going to the Hall of Fame. If it's bad, even if you were a Hall of Famer, now you're not allowed anymore. And then we kind of get back into it in the middle for the All-Star voting. We are angry. We're upset. Okay, great. Nice weekend. See you in September. And that's kind of how people are, right? But yep. in this offseason, because we had such a weird year last year, man, I think it's certainly amped up that people were excited with everything that happened in the offseason with San Diego. The fact that Tatis, which completely shocked me, I'm curious your take. I mean, you know, to come off of the IL and be eligible the day he was to come back after the way he went out, I mean, people were like, you know, hey, he's done for the year. To, oh, hey, 3 days later, he's ready to play. I mean, the whole thing is just amazing. And then when you see a play like Mookie Betts yesterday, his talent level, Joe Kelly told me a few years ago when they were both in the Red Sox, I said, give me an idea of, in a line, how you explain Mookie Betts. He said, I hate him. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, he's literally better than me at everything because he's just – I mean, Mookie Betts has several 300 bold games. There's nothing he can't do. And here's a catch. He's a right fielder, right? Playing in center. On a catch like that to end a game, I mean, it's been pretty fascinating. For an April series, it's been very, very cool to watch.
Absolutely. You ever seen the video of Mookie Betts running wide receiver patterns that's out there, Casey? He's
Yes.
He runs this little square corner pattern, and I'm like, oh, that looks really good. Really, really smooth. Anything he wanted to do, he could surely do. Yeah, you mentioned Tatis. That shoulder has basically popped in and out several times in his life going back to the minors. That's scary stuff for a guy that just gave a massive pile of money. I don't know that there's anything to do about it short term. You know, I guess surgery is an option at some point, but they're trying to avoid that, of course.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you get the 2-touchdown deal, 14 years, you want to be careful. My thought, and I talked to a bunch of players who had similar injuries, and yeah, they all say the same thing. Now, look, even with if he has the surgery, because of the way he swings, even if it takes time, it may be gradual, but 3-4 years later, we might be right back here anyway. If he doesn't have the surgery, we still may end up having this happen. Now, you know, could it be worse each time? It could be. I mean, but, you know, at the same time, I always go back to, and I remember because in doing, you know, the postseason with Turner that year, Pedro, in addition to everywhere else, it was like Tanaka's arm was going to fall off. And he went, I don't know what he pitched, another 5 years, right? With an elbow that people thought was coming apart. I remember, I think it was Leo Mazzoni who told me many, many years ago, he said, you do an MRI on every pitcher that is scheduled to start tonight, there will be no games. Because, I mean, arms are just not supposed to work this way, right? So in the, you think about the torque of a swing of a kid who is swinging, and he's got a violent swing in terms of Tatis Jr. I think you're going to probably have a lot of these kind of things happen, but I was shocked. I mean, April, look, it's great for us to watch a Dodgers-Padres series, fine, but it's April. I mean, if he's anywhere close to where you got to make a game-time decision, you shouldn't be playing. So I was surprised, but it's worked out okay.
It is 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. The White Sox and Red Sox with a split doubleheader. Jonathan Stever will be the 27th man and start the second game of the doubleheader. Later on, it's Cubs and Braves at night right here on The Score. That is the Sunday night game. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin coming up in the 6 o'clock hour later on. But we're talking some national with Casey Stern. All right, so the Atlantic League is going to move the mound back by a foot. 16 straight years, the strikeout rate has gone up. 16 consecutive years. And this year, it is worse than ever. And it is a tough watch very often. Because of that, among other reasons, I have no problem with trying out this rule. What are your thoughts on the rule? Do you think it makes its way to the MLB at some point?
Well, look, I think first of all, and I know people don't want to hear this, but the first thing you got to think about is what about the injury aspect of it? So I talked to a couple of different pitchers about this, and what they actually everybody across the board who has pitched has told me is that even though everybody's thinking about the fastball velocity, and this kind of makes sense when you think about it, even though I don't think we're, you know, pitching unless we're playing MLB The Show tonight, you and I, you know, when you're throwing a breaking ball, the torque on a slider, all those sorts of things, that's going to change the distance and the mechanics of all of that. So there are going to be some guys who then, because they have to, you know, maybe, you know, put a little bit more oomph into it. They've got a lot of cutters, a lot of sliders. These are the pitchers, the pitches obviously that have caused most of the injuries that we see. You might have some injury concerns. The thing that to me is a little bit ridiculous is how far we'll go to not say, hey, look, I know we couldn't tell Buddy Ryan, don't run the 46 defense. Huggy, you can go do the press, visit Boeheim the zone. But really, since nobody can hit, maybe the shift should be gone. Because really, that's what all this is. Why is a runner on second in extra innings? Because no one knows how to matriculate a run anymore. So sure, we could put a guy back there. I can't get him in anyway. This is something that is not going to change that. Because if you talk to anybody who hits, every single player who can get to AAA can hit a fastball. Now, they don't all throw 101, but it's the movement of DeGrom's pitch that makes him think. Look at how many pitches he strikes guys out with in the zone. But watch them. It looks like, and it's the whole quote-unquote, because there's no such thing, but it looks like it's a rising fastball. Mm-hmm. It's the movement on his pitch, the life at the end of the pitch that he's able to get, the cut on the guys who throw the cutters, like guys like Kenley for years, and obviously Mariano was the best at it before him. The fastballs are still going to be 98 instead of 99, 96 instead of 97. Guys can't hit because no one can hit a breaking ball. There's no approach at the plate. Go watch the games today, people who are listening, and watch how many guys take fastballs down the middle to open a count because they're worried about walking instead of trying to get a hit. Moises Alou would hit 9,000 if he played today with the amount of fastballs we're starting. Guys don't know what they're doing anymore, Matt. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It really is. I tweeted, it was yesterday or the day before, Theo Epstein built an offense so frustrating with the Chicago Cubs that it made him want to fix the sport. Because... because the Cubs are such a difficult watch. They homered a bunch yesterday, but they've become attackable en masse, Casey, like so many are. High fastball, high four-seamer, and then some kind of 12-6 breaking pitch, slider or curve or whatever it is, like in that tunnel, and it goes against the launch angle, guys, and it's just – and yet the hitters remain – committed to trying to hit home runs because that's what they get paid for, and that's the most sensible thing to try to do the way it's constructed. So Theo's trying all these different things. We got the mound, we have the sticky stuff, we have the potential shift, we have, you know, there's the three batter rule that predates him, but there's all these different things. Of all these different things he's trying to lower the strikeout rate, and that is the open, clear goal here. What of them will make sense, if any, to try and achieve that goal?
Honestly, I still, and I'm stubborn with this, I stick with it. I've even said, because I understand the idea of, you know, even though aesthetically, I'll be honest, it's like, you know, my kids are still not old enough yet to really care about it. But when we see the little arrows of, no, okay, so that's the shortstop, but he's all the way over here. It's like, I don't have to explain to, you know, my kid, hey, the wide receiver's out there, right? So it's like, you know, aesthetically, I don't want to deal with it. But the shift to me, if you kept even two guys, Matt, on one side of second base and use the bag as like a separator, to me, everything you're saying is from that. Why is their launch angle in all the home runs? Why are they getting paid that way? Well, you know, the whole Chick Stigalon ball from years ago and all that with the homer. But the Royals went to back-to-back World Series, and without Bumgarner, would have shocked the world and won two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What? Making contact. Every guy. Nobody hit homers on the team. The stadium was the biggest in the league.
Yep.
And nobody was hitting homers, but they all put the ball in play. There's no hit and run anymore. The only hit and run we have is if a guy gets hit and we run towards the pitcher to go fight him. It doesn't exist. Because everybody is trying to hit a homer, because rather than hitting it into a shift, guess what you can't get? The ball that goes over you. And the greatest example of this to me is for Cubs fans listening, they're certainly happy with this, but watching what's happened to Matt Carpenter in St. Louis. They completely ruined him. Here's a guy at the top of the lineup, not a stolen base guy, but the new, right, not when we were kids, but the new era of a Lito guy from 10 years ago, just get on base. He was great. What'd they do? They tried to get him in homers. He won half a season where he hit 20-something, whatever it was. And guess what? Now every outside pitch, he pulls and grounds out to second base instead of taking to the opposite field, because dumping for a single doesn't do anything. If we change the approach of allowing guys to hit the ball with the hard velocity, but not so much up in the air, I think they know what they can do. They're just not doing it. It's not the players. It's not like everybody, oh, I forgot how to hit. Hey, look, there's holes in the swings, like a Javi Baez or somebody like that. Jason Hayward, great example. We made him $184 million for what we thought he should be able to do with that size, instead of saying, wow, he's really good at a lot of things, just probably $100 million less good.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's a frustrating moment, and they're kind of throwing a lot of crap at the wall trying to figure out what it is, and we'll see what sticks with it. Casey, a pleasure to talk to you, man. Thanks. We'll do it again sometime.
Anytime. And if they start with telling Angel Hernandez that it's probably time to sit down, they're off to a good start.
Thank you, Casey. Thanks, Stern. Rob. Thank you. Appreciate it. It's Casey Stern right there. Man, it must have been fun to sit next to Pedro Martinez and Jimmy Rollins and all those guys. Gary Sheffield. Those have been a fun watch. Now that's Ernie Johnson's gig. 670 The Score is where you are. Phone lines are wide open for you if you want to talk about any of this stuff regarding the game. I do want to talk about that mound being moved back by the Atlantic League, but let's be honest. There is the single biggest issue for baseball fans. It's an inability to watch their favorite team play. I want to refresh that for you just a little bit. And we'll continue checking in on the lineups for the Cubs tonight. That we won't have that one for a while, but I think we do have a Red Sox lineup for the first one against the White Sox. We have a White Sox lineup too? Not just yet, but we'll keep looking. Keep tracking it down. And invite your calls and texts at 312-644-6767. We do have a game one lineup.
Sox,
oh,
yes.
That will be revealed in a matter of moments on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Low target, 3-2. Lamb in the air, right field. Naylor back at the wall. He makes the catch. In June, it's a tie ball game. In the chill of April, the Indians win 2-0 in 10 in a brilliant game.
You know, I think the way it's supposed to work in the big leagues is you earn your spot on the roster, and that's what Andrew did. It's just like Dylan Cease did and Rodon did and Kopech did. And then you earn your at-bats.
Yeah, this is this drives White Sox fans crazy. I got a text from a buddy on Wednesday night as Carlos Rodon was about to go back to the mound for the 9th in his no-hitter. And my buddy said, Jose Ruiz is going to go out for the 9th because Tony thinks he's earned the inning. To hear about guys earning their at-bats simply because they have been in the big leagues, it's trash. It's absolute trash. Nick Williams is a bad defensive outfielder. Because he's lanky and fast does not mean he's a good defensive outfielder. He's bad. So his defensive prowess should not be an issue for him starting over Andrew Vaughn. And as a hitter, he has proven to be a 4A player. Better than a minor leaguer, but he ain't no big leaguer. And yet Tony thought he had earned at-bats and earned an at-bat in the 10th inning of the Bieber-Giolito game on Tuesday. Today, Tony La Russa believes that Jake Lamb has earned not just at-bats, but his first career start in left field. First ever start in the outfield for Jake Lamb. I don't believe he's ever played an inning in the outfield in his big league career. Wedged onto this roster and now getting a start in left field in front of a 37-foot high wall out there in left known as the Green Monster.
And can we talk about being wedged on this roster? Because he was cut from Braves camp because of Pablo Sandoval making the roster and then Jason Kipnis being signed. And then this all leads to them getting injured and having COVID issues where they call up a guy who hasn't made an MLB at bat since 2008 in Sean Kazmar.
Hey, do not besmirch anything regarding Sean Kazmar.
I woke up yesterday morning thinking it was Scott Kazmir and didn't realize until I was running the board that it was Sean Kazmar.
Well, one of the great stories of this young baseball season, dude went 12 plus years between big league at bats. Not for nothing, but was the family cool with him being in AAA for 12 years?
That's Cody Decker.
Got a wife and a couple of kids.
I mean, Cody did the same thing.
Not for that long, did he?
I think so.
Is Cody there for that long? Well, Sean Kazmar, good for you. Back in the majors yesterday against the Cubs of all teams. And Sean Kazmar, pretty cool. His wife and I believe his mother were able to get on a red-eye flight on Friday night and make it to Wrigley to see his game there. Hasn't played in the big since 2008 when he was with the Padres. But there's Jake Lamb in the eighth spot and playing left field. Lurie Garcia hits 9th and plays 2nd. At the top, it's Tim Anderson, Adam Eaton, who's been good. It's been very good, really, in most aspects, except for some very awkward defense. Good defense yesterday. Made a great catch in right field to take a home run away. Moncada up to the 3-hole again. Abreu in cleanup. Yermín Mercedes behind Abreu. I like that. I think Abreu cares who hits behind him. I think we have learned about him that it matters for him to feel protected. He loved what Eloy brought in that way. and Mercedes is as close as you're going to get. And Mercedes right now is feared by the opposition and should be, the way that he goes about his business with the two-strike approach and the absurd power when he swings big on the first couple of strings. So I like Mercedes behind Abreu. Grandal hits behind him. Then Luis Robert down at 7. Jake Lamb at 8 and Garcia at 9. Ugh, Jake Lamb. These guys are going against Tanner Houck of the Red Sox, and I don't really get it. This is what Tony does. Tony plays the entire roster. He plays every bit of the roster, and that's what he does. And I think Rick Hahn knew this. He just didn't want to hire him. There is that. Was not very interested in hiring him and then didn't really have a choice. Let's go to the phone lines, shall we, at 312-644-6767. This is Rodney on the South Side, who's now on the Score on Hit and Run. Good morning, Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very good, man. How are you? Good morning.
It's funny that you bring that up, because anytime you got an owner who overrules the general manager, that bring in somebody who's 76 years old and haven't been away from the game for 9 years. That's ridiculous. In my mind, that's a gimmick. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame manager, well-deserved. You know what I mean? He was great back in his day. But how in the world are you going to just hire a 76-year-old manager who has not managed in 9 years over a whole bunch of candidates who's at least been familiar with the American League recently? You know, so people like A.J. Hinch, people like Mike Scholzer, you know, I mean, a whole bunch of guys. That's, to me, that's just a flat-out gimmick. And, I mean, if I was Rick Hahn, I got to be, a little bit like scratching my head. Because, again, how do you let your owner just overrule you and just go get anybody?
Because you like your job, and there's not many jobs like this, and you've been building to get here for all these years, and you don't want to just walk away when the team that you have built and assembled is now here. I hear you, Rodney. Thanks for the call, man. And this was incredibly frustrating in the offseason. I think most of us were able to sort of, you know, intellectually kind of put it aside. And then you see some things that just drive you nuts. It's the nature of the owner. I remember Paul Konerko was on in the offseason and said, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. And that's it. It's the boss. We've all had this in our lives at different times. The boss makes the call. And that's all it is. The familiarity is definitely an issue. You know, you look around and he's looking at Nick Williams thinking that he's, has he been watching what he did with the Phillies? Been paying attention to the game? Really? I don't know. I mean, I know Jake Lamb was your guy in Arizona. Have you been watching the last couple years for Jake Lamb? Because this is not, it's a long time since 2017 when Jake Lamb had an OPS of 844, hit 30 homers, drove in 105 runs, did strike out 152 times. It's all right. People accept those Ks. But then a banged up year in 2018, a banged up year in 2019 with terrible numbers both those times. And in 2020, played in 31 games with horrible numbers. The OPS hasn't been above 676 since that 2017 year. Arizona gave up on him. Oakland had him, gave up on him. Sean Anderson told you about Jake Lamb in Arizona, couldn't make that roster. Now here he is, a Tony guy. And this is just, yeah, it's very, very frustrating.
I just saw this, too, from Jose Abreu. He talked about how he likes being protected in the lineup. Yesterday, he had 3 of his 14 hardest hit balls yesterday, and 2 of them came in the top 12. So he had his hardest hit ball yesterday, his 12th hit ball, and 14th hit ball yesterday.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it, and, you know, some of that stuff, I know people like to dismiss lineup protection or lineup positioning and stuff. To some of the players, it matters a great deal. It absolutely matters. And it matters to Abreu, and he has said as much and shown you as much.
Well, and I'm surprised they don't protect Luis Robert more, because he, I mean, quietly has been getting on base a ton.
Yes, he has. Luis Robert has made some adjustments, and I got to give him credit because I thought we were going to enter this year with the same kind of stuff giving him problems, but he is laying off some of that low and away stuff. He's swinging less. I'll check those numbers in the break. Last year, his swing percentage was number one in all of baseball. His swing and miss percentage was also number one, but just the swing percentage, he was, all right, I'm here to swing. Let's go. And when pitchers know that, they're going to get you. I believe his swing percentage is down significantly. And the swing and miss, I'm not sure. But good for him. Good for Luis Robert. I mean, that's my one thought. I'd look into that lineup, other than why does Jake Lamb exist on the roster, is maybe Luis Robert, you know, even though Eden has been doing okay, go ahead and put Luis Robert up top again, or at two.
So swing rate is up 57.3% to 58.1%, but his swinging strike rate is down 5%. 22% to 17%. And his called strikes plus whiffs is down 1%, 31% to 30%. So he is, you know, seeing less strikes. He's swinging at less strikes. He's not swinging and missing, and, you know, he's making more contact. His contact's gone up from 61 to 69.
Well, we'll see what happens with Jake Lamb today for those White Sox. You know, this all, it's, the dynamic between the manager and the front office is different in every place. It's different in every organization. And the key question to me is how many managers around baseball have full autonomy over the lineup every day? And we don't know the answer to that. When we were growing up, it was a lot higher. These days, man, that is a partnership that is functioning very differently than it used to. This is Joe in his car on I-294, dialing in on Hit and Run right now. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Hi, Speaks. How are you?
Great.
Hey, so you mentioned about Tony, you know, like, putting people in the lineup and you're not, you know, you're kind of scratching your head, like, why is he in there? And, look, I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm not a Sox hater, though. But Joe Maddon used to do kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
There were many times that we would scratch our heads, like, why is he in the lineup? Or he would put somewhere from fourth or fifth spot to first. Or I mean, just, you know, all kind of crazy stuff. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But it just sounds like the same thing, that what you're saying. Just as soon as you said that, it reminded me of Joe Maddon.
Well, you know, the thing about and thank you for the call, man. The thing about managers is that, look, a very powerful baseball exec once said, within earshot of me and some others, all managers suck. Ours just sucks a little bit less. Okay? They want to put the guys out there, but they, for the most part, they just can't dictate everything. They try to dictate as much as they can during the game. I don't really, you can't dictate even less. But yeah, I mean, Joe played everybody, and there's certainly some sense in playing everybody over a .162. It's Jake Lamb getting a start against a right-hander. It's not the end of the world. I mean, against right-handers in his career, the OPS is over 800. As I mentioned, he was really good for a couple years there, 2017 especially. It's just been a rough go since. That is for sure. Let's go to Greg on the north side on 670 The Score. Hello, Greg. You're on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to support the your national guest's idea that you could ban the shift. I think that would help. And the point that some people make against that rule is that, well, you can't tell the fielders where to stand. Well, we've already had a rule for, 100 years? That a player, let's say Chris Bryant, wants to protect against doubles late in the game, can he straddle third base, actually have 1 foot in foul territory? No, there's a rule against that. Everyone knows that, and no one has a problem with that. So just tell the shortstop you have to be on the shortstop side of second base. You can stand behind second, and that's as far as you can go. And if the rule was there, people would have already accepted it. You know, it's just that it's new, so it shocks people. But you could do it. We already have a rule for telling fielders where to stand. So just add a little extra to it, and that would really help the hitters.
Yeah, you know, certainly there's nothing stopping you from doing that kind of thing. I think Casey Stern did mention, you know, zone defense in the NBA or some of the rules regarding hand checks for defensive backs. I mean, rules to enhance offense have been everywhere in all sports. So it's a matter of which ones actually work. And I do believe that the shift should be either limited or banned. I do, because there's definitely an aesthetic function here too. When somebody rips a line drive to short right center, that ought to be a hit instead of caught by a second baseman on a bounce who's playing a glorified fourth outfielder position. When somebody times a pitcher perfectly and they're locked in and they hit a hard grounder right back up through the box, that ought to at least have a chance to be a hit. I do think so. It's hard to hit a baseball. Really hard. I do want those things to have a chance to be a hit. I would love batters to be good enough to hit the other way and try to hit the other way. They are not incentivized to do it contractually. They are often not incentivized to do it personally, though I wish they were. And it's just really, really hard to do as well. But, I mean, look, when they can do that, that's wonderful. That would be the best way for the game to adjust to itself, as it always has through the years. The issue is all these guys throwing as hard as they do and just the incredible velocity. So eventually, the true enforcement of a pitch clock that precludes pitchers from being able to go 100% on every single pitch, gathering every little bit of their strength and stamina on every pitch so they can max out. If that is precluded, then I think that will lead to more contact. And it also might lead to more pitchers being allowed to go later. Because right now, that third time through the lineup, well, he's going to max out, and he won't be quite as maxed out as he was two innings ago. So let me bring in the next middle reliever who can max out. I wanted to share this about the mound experiment before I take a break on 670 The Score. The Atlantic League is moving the mound back by a foot. I mentioned 16 straight years that the strikeout rate has gone up. There is also data out there. Scott Lindholm tweeted this out yesterday. So interesting. The total number of strikeouts for the last 120 years in baseball, where strikeouts were, you know, scarce. And there were lots of years, obviously, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, where there were more than 16,000 hits than there were strikeouts over a given year. Numbers went down in the late 60s when the mound was lowered and pitching got so good, and then the mound was lowered and the strike zone was narrowed after that, and hits came back up. By 1980, we were again at 18,000 more hits than strikeouts over a given year, and then down. By 2005, we're a little under 14,000 more hits than strikeout. And down they came, still. By 2015, we're about 4,000 more hits than strikeouts. Then 3,000. Then 2,000. The last 4 years, there are more strikeouts than hits. For the first time ever in baseball, the last 4 years. More strikeouts than hits. Overall. It is no longer an anomaly when we see Jacob deGrom striking out 14. I mean, it's still really, really good. I guess that's a bit of an anomaly, but it sure isn't an anomaly when we see randoms striking out 8, 9. Jason Stark had this, that according to MLB's data, the extra foot that they move the mound back will mean that a 93-mile-an-hour fastball will look to the hitter like a 91-mile-an-hour fastball. So that's the average velocity in 2020 is 93. The average velocity in 2010 was 91.6. So a 93 mile an hour, the will look like a pitch from 2010. There were 8,500 fewer strikeouts in 2010 than there were in 2019. 8,500 fewer. The study from MLB also estimates that an extra foot between the rubber, the mound, and the plate would give hitters an additional 1/100th of a second of reaction time. That is enough to reduce projected swings and misses by 2.2%. That may seem very small to you, but over the course of a big league year, it means thousands of fewer swings and misses. Yes. And here's the thing about moving the mound back. You're not going to blow arms out more than they are blown out. Catchers play pretty far back behind the plate. Guess what? They're playing farther back than they used to as well. So that's added some distance for the pitcher that they're not even aware of, really. That extra foot, it's not going to truly change the mechanics of the pitcher very much. We're all going to be okay. Everybody's going to be all right. I'm all for it. Let's check it out. Top of the hour, we talk about a new podcast regarding steroids that we need to get to and get some context on. More of your phone calls, though, at 312-644-6767. And later on next hour, some blue pits with little tidbits from around the league that you need. You'll get them in the 11 o'clock hour here on The Score.
The strikeout rate in the game right now is essentially 25%. So 1/4 of all plate appearances are ending in strikeouts. And just a generation ago, that was 15%. It's a fundamentally different game.
When Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
Theo trying to fix the game. Can't fix the Cubs? Let's fix the game. It's hard to fix the Cubs. It's Jed's job. They had a great day yesterday. A truly exhilarating offensive performance by the Cubs. Just kept pouring it on and on and on. A couple of homers for Chris Bryant, who's on fire. A couple of homers for Wilson Contreras, who is locked in. Wilson Contreras can be frustrating, I know. But boy! And really, he's only frustrating when, like, if you don't like the emotion. I love the emotion and the passion from Wilson. I mean, he's done so much work defensively. I used to call it the unnecessary cat-like reflexes of Wilson Contreras. You don't see them very much anymore. No longer. Like the crazy sort of, like, looking like John Belushi on a stakeout in the Blues Brothers. You know, he doesn't really have that look anymore. Much more under control. Tony La Russa, by the way, says the White Sox will see how the bullpen is used behind Dallas Keuchel in Game 1 before he decides who starts Game 2. So it might not be Jonathan Stever. Stever's here. What does that mean? If there's no Kopech in Game 1, maybe Kopech starts Game 2? That'd be pretty cool.
Revenge game.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Let Michael get a start at Fenway? Dude is unhittable these days. That would be so fun.
And Speaks, I know he's not the same guy as last year, but you might get ambidextrous gravy if he starts, if Kopech starts and they don't use Crochet Game 1.
Do it. So maybe that's what's in his mind. It's too long, guys. And that'd be fun as hell. Give Kopech a start, let him meet Fenway, greet the fans, etc., and let him go three innings, have Crochet come in afterwards, flip that lineup around. Oh, I like it. I like the way you think. This is Ben in Queens on The Score on Hit and Run. Good morning, Ben. What's happening?
Good morning, Matt. You know, I'm going to get to my Cubs ambidextrous gravy, future ambidextrous gravy. But first, I got to say, when I hear you sing the low brass intro, I am happy because it means that some semblance of something that smells kind of like normalcy is entering back into my universe. It is no small thing, my man. I'm getting overclamped just thinking about it.
Well, it's for you and only you on the low brass of the Twib theme. But go ahead, babe. What you got?
Okay. Well, look, I'm not going to traffic in in Cubs fantasy here, but these Cubs are not as bad as they look right now. I mean, the numbers are historic, but that also means they are anomalous. It is somewhat of an anomaly. And even if they are this bad, look, your three biggest pieces of trade bait, which is Bryant, Kimbrel, and Contreras, are performing exactly where you'd want. The price is going up every day. And what I'm getting to with the gravy is, you know, there are no dynasties anymore in baseball. You know, there wasn't going to happen with the Cubs. But if you look at, like, the Red Sox in 2007, 2013, and the Cardinals in 2006 and 2011, there were, like, three elements on that same team. So I could see the Cubs winning in 2024 with their ambidextrous gravy of Azalea and with Braylon Marquez, with a bunch of pieces that you could get in this season. You see, the Cubs are going to win between 75 and 85 games. They could have a 75-win season that could be very successful because they could get a bunch of pieces to put around an Ed Howard, a Christian Hernandez, a Nico Horner. And, you know, I'm just saying, there's some – and during the season that's happening, the Cubs are going to be in it because they got enough good pitching. The bullpen is just good enough. And the hitters, they're going to hit just enough. They are. They're going to do it. So, I mean, I'm telling you, this lines up to be a fascinating Cubs season. You just got to relax and freaking enjoy it, man. People got the football mentality, and, you know, it's just horrible. It just destroys everything. So, anyway, I love you, man. And like I say, hearing you sing makes it worth it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be calling you up during the season. We're gonna end up. You know, Cubs are not going to be as bad as everybody thinks they are. I'm getting in fights with these Twitches on the Twitch chat, you know, because, man, they're horrible, they're horrible.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you. Yeah, they're frustrating. They're more frustrating than they are flat-out horrible because it's a similar movie to the one you've been watching for years. So it feels very samey. And you were told at end-of-season press conference after end-of-season press conference that the offense is broken and something must be done. That we need different people. And then the different people haven't really come. They have not. So you've got the same people being asked to make the same kind of adjustments, and certain pitchers can just get them. But yeah, that division, man, the Cincinnati Reds are 7-1 at home. They're outrageous. More on them in Blue Pits coming up later. But they're only 9-5. And then it's the Brewers who are hitting just about as poorly as the Cubs are, pretty close. The Cardinals at 7-7, and the Cubs there at 6-8. Not only is it early, but most divisions are tight. The best team in baseball on display every night, late at night, if you're wide awake, are the Dodgers. 13-2, good at everything, and deep at everything. And these games with the Padres have been electric. Second best team in baseball, second best record in baseball, also the second best run differential in baseball. Is the Boston Red Sox. Actually, third best run differential, one run behind the Reds, who are fading just a little in that regard. But the Red Sox at 10-4, and they host the White Sox for a doubleheader. We will get you ready for some of those games along the way, and let's talk about a dark, dark era in baseball that was also really fun. Is it possible to have been both? I think so. We'll contextualize it next. Hit and Run on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.